Welcome to the Old Presbyterian Meeting House Sermon Podcast, where faith meets everyday life here in Alexandria, Virginia. We're glad you're here. Now center yourself, take a deep breath, and let's dive in.
For the glory of the day, Almighty God, we give you thanks. For the glory of this autumn, we give you thanks. For the measure of health we have received, we give you thanks. For the space to worship you in community with old friends and new, and with the saints of this church who sit in this space, inspire us and hold out and hold fast in the kingdom of God as a sign and seal of your promise. We give you thanks. Quiet now any voice but yours, Holy God, that in the receiving of your word, we may take a pause to hear what it is you have for us today. Amen. I have good news. In today's sermon, we have a first-hand account from one of the main characters in our scripture reading today. Zacchaeus himself is here to talk about what happened on that fateful day when Jesus found him up a tree. So, good morning. Thanks. Good morning. I've got some heels on, which helps a little bit, but thanks so much for having me today. I appreciate this little step here in the pulpit so that you can see me. If you grew up going to Sunday school, you probably know there's a song about me. I'm proud to say that in that song, it's one of the top 10 greatest Sunday school hits. Right after Jesus Loves Me and right before Father Abraham Had Many Sons. Some things you probably already know about me based on that song is that I am a wee little man. Now, in case you were wondering how short I am, the average height for men 2,000 years ago was 5'5", and the average height for women was 5'2". And let's just say I never got to dance with any of the ladies because I was shorter than that. The other thing you need to know about me is that I am an excellent climber. And what you may not know is that sycamore trees are the best climbing trees out there because their branches are low and it's easy to step on from one to the next to get from one branch to the next. Some other things you may have assumed about me but should be pointed out is that I am a Jew. And my name, Zacchaeus, means righteous one or pure one. My parents, who named me, had high expectations that I would be righteous and pure, and I am neither. What a disappointment I was to them when I chose an occupation that was anything but righteous or pure. You see, I am a tax collector, and I'm not just a tax collector, I am a chief tax collector. I am incredibly wealthy. And the reason I am wealthy is because I have collected taxes for the Roman Empire, and then they have allowed me to pad my pockets with extra fees on top of what I collect for Rome. So people don't like me very much, to say the least. They see that I am complicit in my partnership with the oppressive regime of the Roman Empire, and I see that I benefit financially from that partnership, which I do quite well. The way I see it is if I didn't do it, somebody else would, right? I mean, the Romans are the bad guys. I'm just a cog in the wheel of the larger corruption. Don't shoot the little man, if you know what I mean. Anyway, I take no objection to being called small-minded, greedy, and even a traitor. That's what I am, or I was. I am also the person in town everyone knows and everyone ignores. I am the person in town everyone loves to hate. I unify the community because everyone agrees they hate me most. Nobody really knows me, but they all hate me. Maybe you know people like that. Maybe there are people who everyone hates because of how they make money. Maybe they are the scammers on the internet, or the people who make off money off of sick people or the elderly. You probably have heard of people like Bernie Madoff or the Sackler family or any other greedy miser. Anyway, that's the kind of person I am. I bet you wouldn't want to associate with me either. I wouldn't blame you. The day goes down in history takes place in Jericho. Now, Jericho is located northeast of Jerusalem and is a highly lucrative town. Travelers and tradesmen were always traveling through Jericho, so it was a really good place for me to make some money and set up shop. And one day, I learned that Jesus of Nazareth was coming to town. Now, Jesus was a celebrity. Everyone had heard how he had just recently fed 5,000 people in Bethsaida, and how he had healed people, and how he taught in the temple and challenged the Pharisees. Rumor had it, he was just passing through on his way to Jerusalem, so I was not going to miss this opportunity, this chance to see him. I knew the road that he was going to take to pass through town. So as he walked through town, I weaved my way and I dodged through the crowd. I jumped up every now and then to see where he was and to watch his feet and to watch his cloak. And I had this eerie feeling that he knew I was running alongside him. I scurried down the road ahead of him, and I thankfully found a sycamore tree, and I climbed up it so that I could look down as he passed by. Now, you might want to know why someone like me would be so interested in seeing someone like him. Why would a self-identified sinner want to see someone who called himself the Son of God? Well, I'll tell you why. It's because I was curious. I was curious about who this man was and what he was all about. I was curious if he would look kind or cross. I was curious if he would be walking slowly or walking quickly. I wanted to see him like the rest of the crowd was able to see him. I may be a bad guy, but I wanted to see him like everyone else. So you can imagine my utter surprise when what happened next. It was very embarrassing. Jesus stopped right under my sycamore tree, and he looked straight up at me, and he called me by name, and he gave me an order, and he told me to come down. And he said, "Zacchaeus, you better hurry up and come down, because I'm going to your house today." At that moment, the entire crowd stood frozen. Even the birds stopped singing, and the air stood still. Everyone was looking up at the tree at me, and I was looking down at Jesus. How did he know my name? How did he know I was there? And why on earth would he want to come to my house? I sat there like a statue trying to blend in with the leaves and the branches, but there I was, the richest man in town, wearing my designer robe and shoes, sitting up in a tree and being called out by the most famous man in the region. The fact that he knew my name almost threw me out of the tree. How did he know my name? Did one of his disciples tell him? Was I so notorious that everyone knew me and my reputation preceded me? Was there something about this man that would give him the power to know the name of someone like me? I inched my way down the tree, brushed off some leaves and branches, and looked at him, and he looked back at me, and I nodded, and he nodded back. And then I ran to my house to prepare for him to come. Well, the crowd noticed me then, and they parted away as I ran to my house. And as I did, they sneered and had some choice words that didn't make the Bible. And they said things like, "Jesus is going to eat with that man, a sinner." And they spit on me along the way. I kept running towards him, opened the door, and looked around. Oy vey. Jesus is going to see how I live. Oh, I thought. He's going to see all this wealth made on the backs of all those people. Now, I ask you, if Jesus told you that he was coming to your house this afternoon, what would you do? How would you see your home if you were seeing it through Jesus' eyes? Are there some things that you would hope he may not see? Maybe you'd get the Bible out and put it on the end table. No one had ever come to my house. I have never had a guest. No one would ever come, and if I invited him, they would have laughed. My house is filled with the finest of things and is bare of any feeling of warmth or love. When Jesus said he was coming to my house, he didn't just mean my domicile. You see, the word house means more in Hebrew. In Hebrew, in the Jewish tradition, your home is a reflection of your soul. So as I stood there looking around my foyer and all of my fine things, I thought about the reading from Proverbs. The Lord's curse is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the righteous. Was he coming to curse me or to bless me? I shook the pillows, I poured the wine, and I cut the bread, and suddenly there was a knock on the door. I opened it, and there he was, standing with those knowing eyes, and I backed up and let him in. We sat at a small table, eating bread and drinking wine. It was the first time in my life that I ever truly felt noticed or seen. It was the first time in my life I realized I wasn't doomed to spend all of eternity in hell. Even I, the most hated man in town, was worthy of Jesus as my guest. I can't help but wonder what my life would have been like if Jesus hadn't seen me that day, how my life wouldn't have changed, but it did. I realized that if I had something that could be used for good, that all that wealth, all that I had accumulated, that was nothing but material stuff, and that I could take that wealth and I could give half of my possessions to the Lord, and anyone who I treated or robbed, which there were many, I could choose to pay them back four times what I stole from them. After that, my house was different, and my soul was different too. All my stuff went away, and all that was left were people who came to it, and I was invited to others. I didn't know it then, but just in a few short months, Jesus would be killed in the most horrific of ways. He died being hung on a tree, and he saved me when I was up a tree. He sacrificed his place in community, and he restored my place in community. He was condemned by his community, and he restored me to my community. He saw me and knew my name. He ignored his reputation and the societal expectations to come to my house. I think about it now, about how my life has changed because of him. Now, instead of an inventory of things, I have a list of names, people whose lives I have changed and people who've changed mine. I believe you call them saints. I know you won't believe it, but I became a saint too. When I eventually died and found myself entering heaven, Peter met me there and said, "Now look, you went into the world with nothing and you're going to come out of it with nothing. So what have you got there?" I responded, "Well, it's just some names." "Well, let's see it. It's just a list of names of folk I worked with and folk who helped me." "Well, let me see it. It's just a group of people. If it weren't for them, I never would have made it. I want to see it." Finally, I gave it to him, and he smiled, and he said, "Oh, I know all of them. In fact, on my way here to the gate to get you, I passed them. They were painting a big, great sign to hang over the street, and it said, 'Welcome home.'" Amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from the Old Presbyterian Meeting House in Alexandria, Virginia. We are glad to walk beside you in faith, reflection, and community. We hope today's sermon spoke to you. If so, please share it with a friend. Find us online at opmh.org/podcast. And until next time, may grace and peace go with you.